Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Crawley.
Now, I know some of you might not be quite in the Christmas spirit. Maybe those of you who have children, maybe more than others. But you may remember today is the second Advent. Yeah, and the children and the youth, they've started last week already with the Christmas story. So looking at the Christmas story, and I chose this scripture from the Christmas story as well, because I feel, although some of us have heard it, you know, when we were little, in school or Sunday school, and we are very familiar with it, I still believe God speaks to us through the stories of the Bible, including the Christmas story or the Nativity. But before we come to that, I wanted us to have a think about. Now, on a day-to-day basis, I mean, some of us are quite well organized. We know what to do one thing after the other. And others are a bit more chaotic and just go with the flow. But I was just wondering, as a person, would you call yourself somebody who is quick to respond when something interrupts you? Are you somebody who gets annoyed when, let's say, when a phone rings and you want to do something else, or when you get a message? What do you do? Yes, when you're kind of caught out of the blue, how do you manage that? Because I felt that God was really speaking to me, and I think the crosswalk yesterday was such a thing. Isn't it? Some of them were rushing. I was always thinking, those who live in London, they are the ones who are really cutting through. It's hard to stop them. And then there were the tourists who were trying to take pictures and, you know, walking in massive groups. And I was wondering, so how do they find us, like, kind of trying to give them tracts, smiley tracts, and how did they respond to it? So today, I really want us to think about how God might want to interrupt us, how God does interrupt us. And you know, sometimes God wants to interrupt us because he wants to connect with us. Like yesterday on the crosswalk, you know, each of these flyers is really sharing God's love, God's purpose, God's promises with that person, that God's hope, you know, God's joy with that person. Sometimes God wants to interrupt us because he wants to redirect us, isn't it? Sometimes we might go one way, but actually God says, no, this is the way I want to go. And sometimes God might want to interrupt us because he knows there's somebody else who needs to hear my love, who needs to know that I'm there for them. So these are the things that we're going to think about. The first scripture we're going to look at is in Luke chapter 2 and is verses 8 to 20. So Luke chapter 2. Verses 8 to 20. I think they will come up on the screen. Yeah, I'm not quite well organized yet, so let me just bring it up. Okay, so I'm going to read it all at once, and then we're going to cut it in some pieces. So that night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, laying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Amen, amen. What an amazing, amazing, amazing scenario, if you think about that, isn't it? The shepherds on the fields, it was night. I guess they were probably settling their sheep. I'm not sure, I'm not a shepherd, I'm just imagining. They were maybe sitting around the fire, having, you know, maybe something warm to drink, sharing stories maybe. Maybe some are sleeping. I'm not sure whether they take turns in watching at night. And then suddenly this angel appears. What an interruption, isn't it, of their routine, of their day-to-day life. And remember, in the Bible, it says there were several hundred years. I can't remember, it's 400 or 700 years of complete silence from God. The Israelites did not hear anything from God at all. So they were just going about their business day in, day out. Nothing happened. And then suddenly Christmas nativity arrives and God is just in different places interrupting people's lives, isn't it? Sometimes, I know last week with the youth, we were talking about Zechariah. Some of you might remember Zechariah was a priest, a high priest, and he by lot, again, you can see how God is intervening, isn't it? By lot, he was chosen to be the one going into the holiest place to offer sacrifice. And whilst he's doing that, again, the angel arrives and has good news for him. So that's how God can interrupt us, isn't it? Now, what did the shepherds do? They heard, they saw the angel, they listened to the angel. So they didn't just ignore what's happened. They were drawn to it, I guess. And they also immediately took action. Once the angels went back to heaven, isn't it? What did they do? At once they went. They didn't think about, okay, let's sleep. Let's go in the morning. At once they went, isn't it? And then at the end, they told everybody what's happened. They didn't just keep it to themselves because they were so amazed about it. Now, the question to you all, and maybe you can ask your neighbor, is how interruptible are you? How interruptible are you? How interruptible are you? So ask your neighbor, I can't hear any talking. So how interruptible are you? Or maybe behind you. How interruptible are you? You know, I remember sometimes I think God can have hard work with me. Especially when I'm busy doing something. Like, I remember sometimes I go to town. Usually I go to town on a Tuesday because I do some voluntary work with the Easter team. And I try to walk for exercise, but also because sometimes I give out some smiley tracts. But then when I'm in town, I usually attach some shopping to it. And I'm very organized because I need to go back home and do some other things afterwards. So sometimes I can feel the Holy Spirit really stirring my heart and say, you know, maybe take the smileys back out of your backpack and give it to this person or give it to that person. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who does that. Yeah? Anybody else in here who's experiencing that? Yeah? And sometimes I just ignore it. I ignore the Holy Spirit and just, no, let me carry on. Let me do what I want to do, what is on my mind at the moment. And I think that is something that we can all do. You know, when you think about when you do your work, when you do things, there's certain ways that you can try and tell other people, I don't want to be interrupted, isn't it? Closed doors, big thing. Headphones, how many people have headphones? Now, I call them earplugs, you know, the smaller pieces that you can put in your ears, just to tell everybody, don't disrupt me. I'm busy. I'm focusing on something completely different. And I think we can do that spiritually as well, can't we? So we can kind of tell God, don't interrupt me. I'm in the flow here. I want to do what I want to do. And I was thinking about, so what sort of things could make it harder for us to be interrupted by God? One of the things is not being close to God, isn't it? When we are not close to God, then it's really difficult for God to speak to our lives, speak to us, get our attention, really. You know, in one of the verses in Revelation 3:20, I think it says, I stand by the door of your heart, isn't it? I knock. And when you're ready, let me in, and I come in because I want to be your friend. I want to have a meal with you. Now, I know lots of people, you take that scripture maybe if you don't know Jesus. But I think even for us, maybe some of us knowing Jesus, we can still do the same thing. We can close the doors of our heart and say, Lord, not now. So lack of closeness, lack of intimacy, lack of maybe time spending with Jesus. I think sometimes what can also hinder it is when we have the wrong things on our mind, on our focus. I know some of us, especially as Pastor Victor said, coming to the end of the year, we want to finish certain things, we want to achieve certain goals. And that sometimes makes us not being interruptible for God because we have this in mind, rightly or wrongly. Do you know what I mean? But sometimes it's not what God has on his heart for us. I remember one of the things that I really felt strongly about is when, I think it was in a preaching that I listened to online, it says that God is not committed to my dreams, yeah? But he is committed to his purposes for my life. And that really spoke to me because sometimes I have those dreams. Who doesn't dream in here? Who hasn't got dreams? Okay, so that means most of us, we have some more dreams, isn't it? Desires, aspirations, goals for our lives. But this really spoke to me because it doesn't mean that my dreams for my life are God's purpose for my life. So sometimes I might be focusing on something that's completely not what God has in store for me, you know? Now, another thing that can also stop us from receiving from God or hearing when God is speaking to us is a lack of surrender to God. Now, most of us, we one day, maybe several times, we invited Jesus to come into our life, isn't it? And what do we say? We say, you are my Lord. You are my master. I want you now to rule in my life. I want you now to decide what to do. With the youth, when we were doing, we still do the Ten Commandments. One of the things we used, one analogy that you're probably all familiar with, we use is the car. Isn't it? My life is like a car, and I'm no longer in the driver's seat, but I'm having Jesus in the driver's seat. So I'm like on the passenger's seat, isn't it? So I surrender everything to Jesus. And when you think about the letters in the Bible, quite a few letters start with, I'm James, I'm Paul, and what do they say? Who do they say they are? They're servants or even bond servants of Jesus, isn't it? And I Googled actually what bond servant means, and I thought that was really helpful. It means one owned by another. And then it says, they wake up every morning seeking to honor and do the will of their master above all else. Yeah? So when we actually say, Jesus, I want you to be Lord in my life, that's literally what we're saying. Every day I'm seeking your will, not mine. Every day I'm seeking what your purpose is for the day for me, not mine. And if we don't do that, we might miss what God is saying. Now, remember in the story that we read, angels. I've never seen an angel visibly, you know, with my eyes. But we know they're all around. But God doesn't always interrupt us by an angel, isn't it? Sometimes it's other things that can interrupt us that God is sending our way. So I want us to go to the next point, really. So when God interrupts you, what do you do? Are you like a couch potato or are you a get up and go? So maybe ask somebody in front or somebody in back of you, so not next to, maybe back of front, whether you are a couch potato or whether you are a get up and go. So have a think about that. Okay, so I don't even know whether that's a proper word, couch potato. But I imagine that will be somebody who, pardon me, who stays sitting down instead of moving and doing what God is saying. I remember when God spoke to me about this message, the next morning I prayed. I said, Lord, okay, help me be interrupted at work. Now, work can be one of those environments, isn't it? I put my head down, I go in, I don't even realize the time, and it's end of the day, and that's it. It's like, it just goes. But this morning, that morning, better, I said, okay, Lord, you interrupt me. I'm here, I'm available. And so I'm going about my work, and then I just go from my office, wanted to go printer or whatever, and then one of my work colleagues, she kind of stops me and says, hi, how are you? How is your family? And I was thinking in my heart, long chat. Really funny. We don't, you know, it's not that I have this conversation with this particular person every day. And I was really surprised. I was like, okay. And I thought, okay, let me be patient. Let me listen. You know what? We ended up praying in my office. I could not believe that. I was like, Lord, what's going on here? And then, so I did that. Carried on with whatever I needed to do. And then one of my other work colleagues, who knows that I'm a believer, I love Jesus. And so he later on came and talked to me and asked me whether I could pray for him. So, and that was like, Lord, is that really to say that you can, even on a busy work day, you can actually interrupt us because you have things, agendas in place, you know, that I could have easily missed by just ignoring or thinking, oh, time, oh, okay, sorry, I have to go, I have to do this and that. So that was really powerful for me personally, and I pray that we can all do that, really. Now, remember, the shepherds, they got up and went to see Jesus straight away. They didn't wait later. When Jesus called people in the New Testament, when he called people into his life, you know that lots of people left everything, isn't it? They left everything and then just followed him, isn't it? But then there were some who didn't directly follow him. Can you put up Luke 9? Sorry, I didn't just put it on my phone. So this is one of the scenarios that you're probably very much familiar with, when Jesus called these disciples, and one of them said, I'm sorry, I have to go and bury my father. And the other one said, oh, I'm sorry, I still have to say goodbye at home. Sometimes when God interrupts us, we have lots of excuses why we don't want to move, why there's other things that we want to do first. And it says very clearly that Jesus said, those people are not fit for the kingdom of God. So there is a time when God calls us, when God interrupts us, when God moves us out of where we are and wants us to do something. And he does not want us to be couch potatoes. He wants us to get up and go. Get up and do. And I know sometimes things can stop us from doing that. I know fear is a big thing, isn't it? The unknown is a big thing. What am I going to do? How am I going to manage? How am I going to cope with that? But the thing is, sometimes we forget who God is, don't we? Sometimes we don't realize that God is the Almighty God. You know, in the scriptures, there's many verses where it really says who God is. We can't even understand him. We can't take him in with our minds, can we? He is so almighty. I know yesterday I looked at Isaiah 40, and I was so amazed. I'm just trying to find it on my piece of paper here. I was so amazed, you know, what it says. Two things. He can hold the ocean in his hand. Can you imagine that? Yeah. The ocean in his hand. And the other thing that really spoke to me is that he can lift up the earth as if it was a grain of sand. That's the mighty God. That's the mighty God who interrupts us, who calls us, isn't it? So he is, what can we say to him? Yeah, we can't really say anything, isn't it? Now, there's two people in the Bible that I wanted us to mention quickly, who both were also interrupted. One is Jonah, and one is Moses. Now, we know the story of Jonah. Jonah, prophet, not quite sure what his day looked like, but God spoke to him. So Jonah knew, God is speaking to me. Who's that? Has that before? You know God is speaking to you. Yeah? Who else? God speaking to you, yeah? God speaking to you. And I pray for those who haven't heard God speaking to you yet, that God will speak to you. Amen. Now, Jonah knew, God speaking to me. This is what God says. And what does he do? I'm not going to do it. I go the other way, isn't it? Now, that's what we can do as well. God could say something about our jobs, our places where we live, our finances, and we say, no, thank you, God. I do the opposite. That doesn't fit into my plans. I'm not going to do that. I know with Jonah, it took another interruption for him to go back, isn't it, to where he needed to go. This time it was a death experience, isn't it, in the sea. So not very pleasant. But God interrupted him and took him to where he wanted to go. Moses was different. We all know Moses knew God spoke to him through the burning bush, yeah? Yeah. We know that God was very clear what he wanted of Moses. Moses knew what he wanted. What did he do? He argued with God, isn't it? Send somebody else. I'm not the right person here. I think you got it wrong. And again, that's the same thing that we can say. We can say that, oh, I think you've got the wrong person here. I think it's next door, maybe. Or you could say, Pastor Victor, yeah, he is the one. He should be going and doing that. Not me, really. And God, when God calls us, he knows us. He knows us. He knows the details of our lives. You know, we talked about people being struggling in this season, having a really difficult time for whatever reason, health reasons, you know, emotional reasons, family things that are going on. But, you know, even in those moments, we can be interrupted. Yeah? I wanted to talk briefly about a scenario that with Peter. I love Peter. Who loves Peter? Yeah? So he's quite blunt, isn't he? Yeah. But he's also very bold. Yeah? And he's got a lot of passion and a big desire in his heart. And so when he was in the boat with his disciple friends, yeah, and the storm came, remember Jesus appeared far away, and they first thought it was a ghost, but then they realized it was Jesus. Now, this is also an interruption, isn't it? In the midst of the storms, they're probably busy trying to get the water out of their boats or whatever, and then Jesus arrives. They could have said, thank God he's there. Let's just wait for him to come here. But what did Peter do? Peter spoke to Jesus and said, if it's really you, call me, and I will come out onto the water and walk. So in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the challenges, Peter still responded, I want to seek more of you. I want to have more of you. I'm not satisfied with what's happening at the moment. I want more of you. And we know he went, and we know what happened. But he took that step of faith, that step of courage. And I want to encourage all of us, don't be pressed down by things that are happening in our lives. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's be encouraged that even in those moments, God can speak to us. And he wants to speak to us. He's not waiting for us, our lives to be whole and complete, you know, because he needs us now. And, you know, sometimes we think that we need to be a certain level before God can use us. It doesn't say anywhere in the Bible, really, does it? That's something that we make up, sometimes as an excuse as well. But that's completely wrong. That's not biblical, isn't it? One of my favorite stories is the Samaritan woman. Who loves that story? Yeah. I love it. I love it so much because Jesus meets this woman in her brokenness. Yeah, very clear. She's broken. Do we all realize that? Remember in those days, it's different for us. We've all got a tap. Yeah. In those days, going to the well was a daily thing, a daily routine, never at lunchtime. Okay. Yeah. Never at lunchtime. It will be in the mornings, early mornings, or in the evenings when it's the cool of the day. Yeah. Okay. So it's like us when we go out in town to town or so. We avoid the busy times, isn't it? We don't want to see anyone. Don't want to pop into neighbors or friends because we don't want to tell them how we are, yeah? That's the lady. She was full of shame, full of brokenness. And where is Jesus? Huh? Where is he? He's just there meeting her at a well, speaking to her, you know, bringing life to her, really. And what I find so amazing is that because Jesus touched her, she doesn't want to keep that by herself. She goes back to the village. And you know, the Bible says, because of that, the whole village came out and learned about Jesus and followed Jesus. So in our brokenness, in our hurt, you know, wherever we are at in our lives, Jesus wants to interrupt us, and he wants to use us to interrupt others. Because remember, God is a God of hope. Now, out there, where else can we find hope if not in Jesus? Yeah? God is the God of joy. God is the God of peace. God is the God of freedom and redemption. Where else can we go if not here? Where we meet Jesus. How can we keep that for ourselves? How can we not share it with our neighbors, with our loved ones? And I know sometimes so much is going on, but I still believe that God wants to interrupt us. God wants to put our focus back on him, his priorities for our lives, not our dreams. Remember, his purpose for my life, not my dreams for my life. So the last question I wanted to ask us is, how interruptive are we? Often it might be a fear of embarrassment, a fear of rejection, fear of man, that we don't share anything. You know, sometimes you could be in a workplace for years and nobody knows I'm a Christian. You know, we might live in the same neighborhood. Nobody knows that I'm going to church on a Sunday, isn't it? It's not what God wants for us. It's not what he wants for us. And I remember when I came here to Bible school, one of the things that I had to pray into, and I guess that's an ongoing prayer, isn't it? Is against the fear of embarrassment, but also the fear of rejection from men. Yeah. So when you do, I know some of you are very good with outreach and you go in every week. But I know there's a lot of rejection happening, isn't it? But remember, they're not rejecting us. They're rejecting God, which is very sad because he loves them, isn't it? He loves them. Now, Gideon was one of these people. Some of you remember the story of Gideon. Least of least. So very somebody who's not significant in his family line, who thought, you know, I'm keeping my head down, quiet life, trying to survive kind of thing. Yeah, sometimes we can identify with that. Yeah, trying to survive, just get through this month and then it will be better. Yeah, same here. But what happened, actually, is that God spoke to him through an angel, yeah? Gave him a promise, yeah? You'll be beating those Midianites up. But the first thing he told him was, go and destroy these idol worship places. And do you know what he did? What did he do? He went at night. He went at night because he was scared of his father. He was scared of what the people in the village would say. So he went at night. But God did not say, wrong, you know, I can't use you. That's how he built up the faith. And that's what God wants to do with us. He will not ask us to do something massive to start with. To begin with, he's going to give us something small that he knows he will give us the courage to do. And then he will build on that. He will build on that. So let's not disregard. It says, isn't it? Don't despise the small beginnings, isn't it? So our life in surrender of God, in obedience of God, being interrupted, but also interrupting others, let's do small steps, one step at a time, one step at a time. I think another reason why we might not always step out is because we forget who God is, as I said before, and who we are in Jesus. Yeah? So the Bible is very clear that when we are saved, when we believe in Jesus, we are children of God. So this God, who is the creator of the heavens and earth, we call him Abba Father. We call him Abba Father. We have that relationship with him. So when he calls us, when he's asking us to do something, we can be full of faith that he's got our back. He's got our back. He's carrying us. He's helping us. He's equipping us step by step. Remember when Peter went onto the water, it's not that he, well, I don't know. I'm just thinking. I don't think he did know, well, he knew the physics, I guess. Chagas is not with us now, but I'm sure we all know that you would drown, yeah? Okay, but he remembered who Jesus was, yeah? And he said, that's enough. I know who he is. I know I can't do it. I know who he is, and that's why I'm going to do it. Remember that the gospel that we have been given is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe in him. It's the power of God. And, you know, God never intended for us to know Jesus, but then to carry on living as if we didn't know him. For our own sake, but also for the sake of people around us. One of the stories I wanted to say before we come to an end is Queen Esther. It's again another story that I like quite a lot. Because, you know, sometimes we think governments do whatever they want. Yeah? Obviously, I know Pastor Eric, who was here not long ago, he said something about the shifting in America and what that could mean spiritually. But I know here down, people like us, like me, down here, often we think, you know, they just do what they want to do. But actually, one scripture we were reminded yesterday is the king's heart, isn't it, is in the hands of the Lord. I can't remember exactly. And so he is in charge, really, of it, isn't it? Queen Esther is exactly such a story, isn't it? How she became a queen, how she was there in the royal palace. Nobody knew that she was Jewish. And then obviously what happened with the Jewish people, the threats over their lives. And some of you remember that Mordecai, the cousin who raised her really, left a message for her, spoke to her, told her what was going on, encouraging her, do something about it. Now, as a queen, I guess your life might be quite cozy, quite nice. You've got everything you want, you need, possibly. And you are quite isolated from everybody else. You don't really know what life looks like outside anymore, isn't it? But Mordecai left a message to her saying what was going on. And remember what he added to it, isn't it? Maybe that's the reason why you are queen in this moment, because you can do something about it. Yeah, that you're there for such a time as this. And I think for us, it's the same thing. Sometimes we are just cozy and comfortable in our own lives. You know, things are going quite all right-ish, not bad. But remember, where God put you might be for such a time as this. Where you live at the moment is no coincidence. God put you there. The neighbors around you, they are there because you know Jesus. They might need to know that. Where you're working, you know, often we do that split, isn't it? My Christian life on this side, my work life on the other side. But actually, in my place of work, God put me there with those people around me. Let's not miss what God wants to do for such a time as this that we are here, that we are there. Yeah? Really important. Really, really important. Because, especially now, we all know that things are accelerating in the world. Yeah? Things are accelerating in the world. There's a lot of needs in the world. There's a lot of lacking in the world. We've got the answer. We've got Jesus, who, as Pastor Victor said earlier, is the way maker. Yeah? He is the miracle worker. He is the light in the darkness. We've got what the world needs. What we need as well, isn't it? So, how are we going to respond to this now? Well, I thought about a few things that we can think about and hopefully pray together about as well. One is, obviously, if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you have never actually said, yes, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want you to be in my life. I want you to rule in my life. Because I know you love me. Remember, all this is because God loves us. Yeah? He said it from the beginning. God loves us. And he continues to say, he loves us. He loves us. He loves us. Sometimes we find it very difficult to believe that God loves us. Sometimes when we look at the world, at our own lives, we wonder, how does God love me? But he says he loves us. He loves us. And that's why, if you don't know Jesus this morning, he's speaking to you now. He's interrupting you now. He's saying, come, I love you. I want you to be part of my family. You belong to me. And remember, that's why Jesus died at the cross, so that we can be part of his family, isn't it? So that we can be forgiven, so that we can have a new life with him, a life in abundance that he's got. So if you are a person who's never done that before, please don't go out without praying with one of us today, this morning. There's never the right time. I remember I had a conversation about yesterday with people who felt, oh, maybe later, maybe later. Don't delay it. We don't know what's happening later, do we? It's not in our hands. So if God is speaking to you about that, let's just pray this morning and let's give our lives to Jesus. Now, some of us, we know that God has been speaking to us, but our focus was wrong. It wasn't where God wants us to focus on. It's not the priorities that God wants to have for our lives. And I know sometimes it's fear-led. Fear-led, yeah? Fear can make us make priorities that are not really that God wants us to do, isn't it? But I pray, let us not be driven by fear, but let's be driven by faith in the good God, in the Father that we have. So maybe that's something that God needs to interrupt us this morning. In the Bible, it says we should lay up treasures in heaven. I think that word still speaks to us this today, isn't it? So not laying up treasures that can be eaten by moths, isn't it? Maybe not so much moths. Rust, maybe not so much. But yes, thieves, maybe. But there's our heart, isn't it, where our treasures are. And if these things are treasures, then that will be our focus. But let's lay up treasures in heaven. You know, receiving from God, sharing God, being challenged by God, being redirected by God, but really walking in his ways for us. One of my favorite scriptures at the moment, I'm very challenged by it, by the way, yeah? So you're not on your own if you're feeling uncomfortable or want to run out outside and forget about all of it. but it's from Isaiah. Now, Isaiah, I know we've spoken about it probably a bit more in depth. It's really amazing because he had a vision of this throne. Well, he was in the throne room, really, and saw God. Now, we not all have this opportunity to see God in his glory, in his fullness. And I know that makes it sometimes harder to really understand who God is. But, you know, God knows. Yeah, but so he stood there in the throne, was really touched, was transformed. But then in verse 8, when God is saying, who can I send? There's so much need in the world. At that time, it was the people of Israel, but today in the world. And Isaiah just said, here I am. Interrupt me. My life is busy, yeah. Our lives are always busy. But here I am, interrupt me today. Interrupt me tomorrow. Interrupt me on Tuesday. Every day, interrupt me. I don't want to miss anything that you have for me or you have for somebody else who needs to hear it through me, yeah? So here I am. Here I am. Send me. Let me be that interrupter. Let me be the one that wakes people up who are dozing, waiting to die. Some people are waiting to die. They don't see anything else in this life. Some people don't want to live. But you know, sometimes God sends us, yeah? Because we carry that life in us. That nobody else has, if we don't know Jesus. So what I would like us to do this morning, if that's a prayer that you want to pray, let's stand up. Let's stand up. Now, Isaiah didn't know what it means, okay? He didn't know that he's going to be a prophet to the Israelites. Nobody wants to hear, yeah? He didn't know what the life would look like. But he was touched by God. He was touched by God and the need. And this morning, we have the opportunity to stand before God. Just ask him, tell him that we want to be here for him. Not for us, not for our bank accounts, you know. Not sometimes the work can become our first priority, our careers. Sometimes it might be something else, but that we're here for him this morning and that we want him to send us. Whatever that might look like, I don't know. I don't know myself. But God knows our hearts. God knows our hearts. God knows our hearts. So just in your own words, just tell Jesus, I'm here. You know, sometimes it might be just good to show expressions. I know I'm very expressionate. Yeah, I use my hands a lot. I obviously walk around a lot. Let's tell Jesus. Let's tell Jesus this morning. Thank you, Jesus. And ask him to send us wherever he needs us to go. I'm not talking about different countries, although for some of us that will be different countries. I'm talking about our neighborhoods, our workplaces, study places, places we go in and out, shops, our families. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, Lord, for your love for us, for your love for the world, Lord. You said that you love the world so much that you gave your one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him, in Jesus, the risen Lord, the resurrected Father, Son, whoever believes in him shall not perish, shall not die, eternally be separated from you, but shall have eternal life. Father, I pray that this love that you have for us, that we receive it this morning, Father God, not just to keep for us, Lord, but to give it to the world who doesn't know you yet, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray for forgiveness for the many times that I've ignored you, for the many times that you had people that you wanted me to speak to or turn my eyes to or whatever it was, Lord, and I've ignored it because I was too busy going after my own things, Lord. Father, I pray, forgive me, Lord. Forgive us, Father God, Lord. And this morning, Father God, I want to turn back to you, Lord, and say, here I am, Lord Jesus. Interrupt me. Help me see my life the way you see it. Help me see your purpose for my life, not my dreams, Lord. Father, I pray, help me see people around me the way you see them, Father God. Father, I know it's a dangerous prayer, but Lord, I want to say, here I am, send me. Help me be that light and salt that you want me to be, Lord Jesus. Help me interrupt people, even if I feel uncomfortable about it, or shy about it, or feel it's not polite. Father God, you are in me. We all have the Holy Spirit inside of us. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you stir our hearts, that you increase courage, that you increase faith, Father God, Lord. Father, that we're not just here this morning, standing on our feet and saying something with our mouth. Lord, that we believe it in our hearts. Father, that it will transform how we live from now on, Lord Jesus. Father, Lord, that we see things in a perspective that you see it, Lord Jesus. Father, that what breaks your heart breaks our hearts too, Lord Jesus. Father, that we're not satisfied just with our cozy lives, but Lord, that we want people around us to know you, to know your peace, Lord Jesus, to know your salvation, to know your healing, Father God, to know your truth, Lord Jesus, to receive your love, Father God. Lord, we cannot do that on our own. We need you, Holy Spirit, to fill us afresh. And I pray again, if you want as well, ask the Holy Spirit just to fill you afresh. Remember, this is nothing we can do in our human efforts. We need the Holy Spirit inside of you, of us, to help us do that. Pray, Holy Spirit, just fill us afresh. Fill us afresh, Holy Spirit. We receive by faith. God knows our desires. Let us be honest before him. If you don't want that, do not say it. But if you do desire the Holy Spirit, it says in the Bible that God will give us that gift. He's a Father who gives us good gift, and he will give us the Holy Spirit if we ask for him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just fill us afresh. Fill us afresh. A new resolute in our hearts, Lord. A new courage in our hearts, Lord. A new inner strength in our hearts, Lord. Father, just fill us afresh. Just baptize us afresh with the Holy Spirit. Yes, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.